God's so good, isn't he?
Hey, so all this, and just God just keeps blessing us and blessing us and blessing us. Amen. Don't know how folks get along that don't know the Lord, don't have a relationship with Jesus. I just could not make it. Amen. He's brought me too far. Anybody else want to stand and give the Lord praise? Sister Evelyn? All right. Praise God.
And he was going tonight as he could make it, but all three of them, both my sons and my nephew, I was in church.
Glory. Amen. Thank God for that. Prayers being answered. Amen. Never give up on prayers. I remember Sister Evelyn requesting prayer for those that boy a while back, you know. And sometimes we think, well, God, when are you going to do it? But God has a time, doesn't he? Amen. God has a time to do those things. And never, ever discount the power of prayer. Anybody else? Well, I have a proclamation to read. I've been asked by the Carroll County. It's the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I don't know if this is the first one, maybe of many, but I would like to read it. I read it before church tonight, so I'm going to pass it on to you. It's this Sunday, January the 19th of the year 2020, whereas, as your chairman, I am committed, this is Michelle Morgan speaking, or writing, to protecting innocent life every day at every stage of life. We must show respect and love for the dignity and worth of every person, the unborn, the aged, the disabled, and the mentally ill, all our most vulnerable neighbors. And whereas chairman, I commend Carroll County citizens who have volunteered to help women choose life by extending a helping hand to all those women and parents experiencing an unexpected pregnancy. I am thankful for the many compassionate people who continuously support women, men, and families in the West Georgia area and resources and encouragement to keep their children physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. And whereas for decades our fellow citizens have stepped forward as volunteers, neighbors, and as parents by fostering and adopting babies and children, Carroll County citizens, many nonprofits, and churches continue to stand in the gap to save every child and assist the elderly. And whereas today, we focus our attention on the love and protection of that each person, born and unborn, deserves regardless of age, disability, gender, appearance, or ethnicity. It is important to show compassion for one another and hold fast to the belief that every life is precious and that every life is a sacred gift from God. Now, therefore, I, Michelle Morgan, chairman of Carroll County, Georgia, do hereby proclaim January the 19th, 2020 as Sanctity of Human Life Day in Carroll County. So January the 19th has already been come and gone, right? Yeah. I'm a little late in reading that. But I just got it today. Anyway, that's something that we can keep in mind, too. It just dawned on me what day it was. Somebody, they have a name for that, but I can't remember what that name is they call it. Now for the news. The old news. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's go to 2 Peter. And when you get to 2 Peter, go on the reverse page to 1 Peter. Chapter number 5. Amen. Praise God. A little levity of life never hurt anybody, I guess. It's good to laugh at yourself. That's what mirrors are for. 1 Peter, chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 6. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the
Lord. The writer says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, and for this night, God, that you've given us this opportunity to gather together in this sanctuary to offer praise, God, to you, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for those who've gathered. I pray your blessing upon each and every person here tonight. Father, we've already prayed for those who are sick and afflicted, but God, again, Lord, we remind God ourselves that we need to hold them, God, up in prayer, praying for those who are suffering for the loss of a loved one, those who are in the hospitals and the nursing homes. Father, that you would strengthen them, touch them tonight. Father, we just ask humbly tonight, God, that you anoint these lips of clay. God, let us speak to us tonight that you would have us to hear, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And we'll be so thankful, Lord, to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you love Jesus, let him know it tonight. Give him a hand clap of praise, if you would. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I love the Lord. Amen. I can't make it without him, and I just can't tell him enough. Sister Linda was talking about the love of God and about the blood transfusion and how the blood is what redeems us from our sinful nature. And I thank God that there's a song that also says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me. He knew me. And that's, she said that before we even know the Lord, he knows us. And you know what? He knew me, and he knew my lifestyle, but he loved me anyway. How thankful is that? Aren't you thankful? To just give the Lord another hand clap of praise. If you're thankful that he knew you and he still loved you. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us just a little while, and if I had a message title or a topic title, and it may be more in the form of a topic title than a message, just whichever way the Spirit of the Lord kind of leads us tonight, but reading those passages of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, I would like to entitle this, Don't Forget Step 1. Step 1 is vital. How many has ever followed directions and had a tendency to skip step one? Come on, you men. Raise your hand. Because it looks like step one is so elementary. It's almost like take screwdriver and pliers. And you know, hey, we know that. And we skip down to two or three or four sometimes, even on down, and start putting things together. And if you're like me, then you find out, wait a minute, I should have went back to step one, because if I'd done step one the way I was supposed to, then everything else would have fit into order, especially when they start giving you those different size nuts and bolts, you know, those bolts, and you have the long bolts, and they're sticking out, and say, uh-oh, got to take that one out and start over. Maybe you don't have that problem like I do, but I have had that happen many, many times, and I always revert back to step one, and if I go back to step one and do the steps over, then I find that things kind of work out. And I thought about that as I was reading. First of all, we have some very interesting material here because it's three words that really, I think, are beneficial to a Christian. And those three words are found in verse number 10. Establish, strengthen, settle. Those words are very, very important in the life of a Christian and with a Christian walk with the Lord. First of all, let's look at establish. How many knows that we need to be established or established, amen, as we said in the American term. We need to be established in our doctrine. We need to be established in our beliefs. We need to be established in our walk with God. How many knows that when you're established, you're not easily swayed? Let's revert back to maybe some steps. Maybe some steps when you're building something. How many knows it's good to put braces when you're building things? And if you don't really brace those things, if you don't really make those foundations sturdy and all, you're going to have some problems later on because it's not going to be established. It's not going to be permanently placed. And when the wind comes or the storm comes, then things are going to happen to that building or that a project or whatever you're putting together. So we like to use the word established or to be established in the Word of God. The best way that I know to get established in the Word of God is the dictionary, or the book, amen, not the dictionary, but the Bible dictionary, if you would. Amen. The Bible has steps by steps and plenty of things to let us know what we need to do. It has the do's and don'ts. I was thinking about this week, the do's and don'ts of a Christian. I know that, again, Sister Linda talked about many, many years ago, where there was a little program that came on when I was very, very young, and it was called Rumper Room. Rumper Room. I know. I'm aged. But the Rumper Room, and it had this little mirror, and she'd call, look out that magic mirror, and she could see everybody, we thought, in television land, and she'd call out all them names, and if she called your name, oh boy, thought you really could see her. And then she had the do-bees and the don't-bees, you know, the little things that you do. And you know, it was all kind of set up and very, very childish, but I was a very, very child in that particular time. But it meant a lot to me because those are the things that I wanted to practice. I wanted to be and the do-bees. I wanted to do the things and that you could do and then not do the things, amen, that would get you in trouble and things. But there's things in the Bible to let us know. There's the things that to do that we need to do as Christians. There's some things that we don't need to do as Christians or children of God. So when we practice these things and we practice the Word of God, we're familiar with the precepts and the statutes and the commandments of God, then we become established in our walk with God. It doesn't always happen when we first get saved and filled with the Spirit of God. How many know sometimes we walk on wobbly legs spiritually? Sometimes we make mistakes. How many knows that God is a forgiver of mistakes and He understands mistakes? And because of His grace and mercy, amen, He's very patient with us. Can I get some praise the Lord for that? Aren't you thankful that God is very patient with us? But after a period of time, we begin to grow and we begin to mature spiritually, and then we become more established in the Word of God, more established in our belief, more established in our walk with God, and we find out that some of those early trials that would flip us so many times, sometimes now we're better able, better equipped to go through those trials, to go through those problems, because we've been established by the mercy and grace of God. And this is very, very good. But again, don't forget step one. I want you to remember that tonight. As we talk, I'm going to keep repeating that. Don't forget step one. And we're going to go revert back to step one in just a moment. So the second term that Peter uses there is to strengthen. How many knows that we use the word strengthen in church a lot? Amen. To be strengthened by His power, to be strengthened by His might, to be strengthened by the relationship of the Lord. How many knows that it is a strengthening process, amen, when we gather together? We don't just come to the house of the Lord just to fellowship. We don't just come just to sing praises unto the Lord. All of that is part of it, but we come to be able to strengthen our relationship with the Lord and to strengthen our spirit. And the way that our spirit is strengthened is by the Word of God, by His pouring out into our spirit, amen, that strength that comes from knowing the Word of God. It goes hand in hand with being established. In other words, the more established we are, I believe the spiritual stronger that we become. And we're stronger because we have to fight the adversary who walks around as a roaring lion seeking. Boy, we have to be strong. We have to be alert. We have to be vigilant, as the Bible says, and be able to recognize the wiles of the devil. How many knows that the wiles of the devil come in many different shapes and forms? Sometimes it can come while you're at work. Sometimes it can come while you're at home. Sometimes it can come just out of nowhere, it seems. But the adversary is always on the job, always roaring and seeking whom he may devour. So we have to be strong in the Lord. And the reason we need to be strong in the Lord is so we won't be persuaded or swayed with all of these different things that come on the news, all these different things that come through books and tell us this, that, and the other. Listen, this is the true book that we need to be very familiar with. Amen. Regardless of what comes on, regardless of the greatest number one seller, if it's contrary to the Word of God, then we don't have any part of that. And the more that we know the Word of God, the more we digest the Word of God. How many knows what digest means? Don't just chew it and spit it out. Amen. You digest it, and the more that you read and digest, I've talked to people, young converts, and they say, Brother Eddie, the Word of God is so hard to understand. And I always tell them, before you open up the Word of God, get on your knees and pray and ask God for wisdom. Ask God. The Bible says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And even before you read, even before you go to whatever particular passage of Scripture you want to find, it's all nourishing, it's all enriching, and it's all good for us at spiritual nourishment to cause us to be strengthened. But if you're having problems reading the Bible, understanding the Bible, ask the Lord to bless you and enlighten you. Then go back and read the same scripture over and over, and I will assure you, after you've asked God to bless you, it'll begin to come into your heart and begin to, oh, that's what it's about. That's what it meant to me. And God will strengthen you through His Word and certainly through His Spirit. Amen. The third word that He says is settle you. Again, let me read it in format. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, and listen after this, after that ye have suffered a while. Now, boy, we'll read past that because we don't like this. We want to get straight on over to the established, to the strengthened, to the settled. We don't like the suffering part too much. Amen? We want to get that out of the way so that we can get to the good stuff. You know, the good stuff, you know, the cream and the Oreo cookie. Amen? You know, I've told you, I know I've shared this with you before, but when we were going to school, Mom always have us a little snack. She spoiled me and my brother rotten. That's the reason we're like we are today. She just spoiled us so rotten. And my wife said, I'm not going to do that. So she's trying to get me out of that spoiled mode. But Mother would have a little snack for us because we rode a bus, and it took us a long time to get all the kids off before they finally let us off where we live. And we'd come in and was always real hungry because me and my brother really didn't like what they had in the lunchroom. It wasn't all that good. So Mother would have us a little snack plate. She had these two little plates, had little divisions in them or compartments, you know, and she'd have us a sandwich or something. And she'd have these cookies. And I think there was a name for them. I forget what they was called. But anyway, there was cream in the middle. There was vanilla wafer on one side and a chocolate wafer on the other side. Has anybody seen those cookies anywhere? Do they still make them? They do? Okay, they still make them. And Mother would buy those things because they were, you could get a big old pack of them. So she put us one of those. And I really liked the vanilla. Didn't really care for the chocolate. But I would hurry up and eat the chocolate one first. And then I would save that vanilla with the cream. I'd be so careful to pull that chocolate one off because I wanted all the cream. Y'all talk like you never done that. But I would be so careful to pull that chocolate one off because I wanted all the cream to be on that vanilla one because, man, that thing was so good. So I'd hurry up and chew that. I wouldn't throw it away because we were taught not to be wasteful because Mother said there was people overseas that would give anything to eat what we would have. And I'd say, well, they're welcome to mine, Mother. But that never worked either. So then I would eat the chocolate one real, real fast, and then I would save that last one for my best dessert. And then, man, it was just so good. And sometimes that's the way that we are. We want to get through that suffering part. We want to get through that chastisement. We want to get through that lecturing that God does sometimes and begins to speak to our spirit. We want to get to the good stuff. We want to get to the shouting. We want to get to the praise. We want to get to the glory. And all of that's wonderful and good. But how many knows that sometimes we can't get to that part until we've went through some of the rough parts? Amen. Because the rough part makes you stronger. Amen. It's not the cookies and cream that I'm talking about, but it's a spiritual nurturing that God gives us. There's a time, talking about the Bible, you know, that we need to be weaned off with a little milk of the Word, amen, the little easy-to-digest stuff, and begin to get the meat of the Word, because the meat of the Word is what's going to make us be able to resist the devil as he comes down as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If he's coming around seeking a weakling, it's going to be a whole lot easier to pray for him. But if he comes up on somebody that's full of the Spirit of the Lord, just like David was, amen, it's going to be very, very difficult. In fact, it's going to be impossible for him to overcome that because greater is he that is within than he that is in the... Amen. You got it. Give the Lord praise if you believe that. He's greater within us. So after you suffered a while, it's going to make you perfect by establishing you, strengthening you, and settling you. How many knows that we need to be settled sometimes? You ever had somebody just get you and say, get a hold of yourself? You ever had somebody, settle down. Settle down. As I told you, my daddy-in-law, his word for his kids was, get off your high horse. I remember him telling Penny that one time when we were getting ready for our wedding and all. And she was just, boy, you just should have seen her. She was just a mad person. Just trying to get everything in order for the wedding and all. And she was saying something, and it came across a little hateful to her daddy. And he said, you just need to get off your high horse. Man, I thought, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to use that after we get married. It worked better for her daddy than it works for me. I will assure you that. So I just discarded it and threw it by the wayside. I don't do it that anymore. But we need to be settled sometimes. Amen. I don't care how long you've been saved. Sometimes you need to be settled. As much as strong as you are in the Lord and as established you are in the Word and His Spirit, sometimes you just need to get settled. What causes an unsettling situation? Well, we can name them, can't we? all kind of things in this world. I-20. Come on. Bank statements. Honey, what you want for supper? I've heard people want to get a divorce because they can't decide what they want for supper. Come on. You need to settle down. Come on. It's not that difficult. Penny asked me what you want. I don't care what you want. She said, what do you want? I said, I just said, I'll eat whatever you want. And then I named something. I don't want that. Just settle down. We need to be settled. And spiritually, we need to be settled. Let me tell you something. If you come to church sometimes and you don't get a thing out of it, the singing didn't touch you, the prayer service didn't touch you, the minister didn't touch you, maybe it's because you came in an unsettled condition. Maybe your mind really wasn't on worshiping and praising God. And it happens to all of us, folks. Don't think you're backslidden just because you come in like that sometimes. It happens to every one of us. Sometimes we can't get our mind on the Lord because of these unsettling situations that are out, and we're already thinking how we're going to handle it. And first thing you know, we're not giving God our undivided attention. And God says, wait a minute. You need to settle down. You need to settle down. So the Spirit of God can settle us down. I call it a calming effect. Whatever you do, whether it's the bubble wrap, I've never understood that. That doesn't really help my nerves. It's annoying to me. Anybody else, but they say it works. They have a stress ball, and you squeeze it. And I'm saying, what does that do for settling your nerves? It's yucky feeling. You know, and they have all these other things that's supposed to stress relief. And you know what does it for me? A hot shower. Well, nobody else works on it. But anyway, I won't go into great detail about it. But if I... But it does help. Especially when that warm, hot water hits the back of my neck. Oh, man, I could just stand there. Come on, y'all get your mind spiritual now. But whatever it is, some things will give you stress relief. But an experience with God will settle you.
Amen.
Settle you. Many of the patriarchs of old had to be settled by the voice of God. Saul himself had a spirit. You know what settled him? Go get David to come play that harp and do some of those psalms for me. And that settled him. Why? Because David was anointed of God. Even as a very young child, he was anointed of God. He had a special purpose, and God used that. And whatever it is, we need not only to be strong in the Lord, we need not only to be established in God's work and in His Spirit, but we need to let the Spirit of God settle us. Settle us. Because there'll be some times we go through unsettling situations, unsettling disturbances, unsettling things that happen in our life, and we just need the calming Spirit of God. And up there he says, casting all your care upon him. Do we really do that? Are we really at that point where we can relinquish everything that bothers us and just give it to God? As Brother Jim says, let's give it to God. Do we really do that? Do we say, okay, Lord, here's most of it. Or here's some of it. But he says, casting all your care. And when you do that, it's that great calming effect that settles us. So we've spent time, we've talked about establishing us through the power of God, through His Word, and through obedience. We've talked about the strength that comes from serving God. Folks, we haven't even begun to realize the power that is within us. The Bible says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to tread on serpents. Prayer, power to do all of these wonderful things. Not through ourselves, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So we have that ability. We have that great power within us, and sometimes I think we fail to use it. We've got all this stuff, and we have the ability to use that power, to exercise that power, and sometimes we just don't do it. But we have it. We have access to it. And then finally, the term settling us, which we spent a good bit of time. But all those are wonderful steps, and all those are wonderful things. But according to the Word of God, there's something that preludes that. There's something that comes before all of that. And we skip over it a lot of times. And I was reading, and I said, Lord, that's so wonderful. That's so true. We try to get all this other before we do step one. And what is step one? Step one is verse number 6. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. How? Under the mighty hand of God. Humbling. How many has ever heard it was a humbling experience? Well, what does that mean? Something shook your ego? Something gave you a dose of reality? Something got you off your high horse? Whatever. Humbling experience. Sometimes a humbling experience is necessary to get us to where we need to be with the Lord. Because a humbling experience makes us realize, hey, I can't do anything without God. A humbling experience lets us realize that no matter what I have, it's not going to take the place of God. I got to have God whether I have anything else or not. Humbling experience sometimes comes through affliction. Sometimes it comes through sickness. Sometimes it comes through hurt feelings. Sometimes it comes through an ego-shattering experience. I was, where we used to live, I was out doing some yard work many, many years ago. And it was on a Saturday. And I was, you know, sometimes on Saturdays, the things that I do, I'm kind of thinking, trying to multitask a little bit, doing some things, and then trying to think in my mind a sermon, a message, God. You know, because messages come to you ministers that may know. Sometimes you can thumb through the Bible and you can thumb back through it and say, Lord, 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 I need something. And then sometimes you can be doing just an ordinary thing and God will speak to you. And I was out in the yard and there were some rocks and things that I wanted to move, and some of the rocks had been embedded down at the edge of the yard, and I was picking those things up. And how many knows in Georgia, we're notorious for having red clay. Georgia red clay. And some of this red clay was sticking to the rocks and all, and I was knocking it off and taking the rocks down to the little creek or the spring that fed Daddy's Lake. And God spoke to me and said, do you realize that that's all you are? Because God formed and fashioned man from the dust of the earth. And there I was just brushing it off the rock. Hello? Because it was unnecessary. It was worthless. Didn't mean anything. It was a nuisance. It was dirty. But thank God, who is the rock. Amen. When he saw that clay that was dirty and worthless and something to be discarded, he didn't brush it off and throw it away. He took it and he formed and fashioned man, and he blessed him, and he breathed his breath into his nostrils, and he became a living, vibrant soul. Amen. To be a child of God, thank you, Lord, that you didn't discard me and cast me aside because I was worthless. God can speak to you in a number of different ways. It was a humbling experience to realize, because sometimes we get to thinking of ourselves a little more highly than we ought to. And when we exalt ourselves, God can't use us as good or as readily as he can when we are humbled. But if we humble ourselves, how many knows that God can work? He sent the prophet down to the potter's house. Why you want to go to the potter's house? Go to the potter's house. Goes to the potter's house. The potter's house, the potter's down there and on a wheel. How many knows what a potter's wheel was? There was a lump of clay. And the master potter, he was making something, and it probably looked pretty good to the natural eye, or to the untrained eye, but the potter, he looked at that and it wasn't right, and he mashed it down and made it all over again. And God spoke to the prophet and said, "Cannot I do the same thing to Israel? In fact, that's exactly what I'm going to have to do, because Israel has exalted theirself. They have made themselves strange gods, and they're looking and worshiping idols, and they knew better than to do that. So in order for them to be able, amen, to be used by me in the power of God, I must mash them or mar them and make them over." Can I say God's had to do that to me before? Many, many times. Thank God for that experience. It's not a pleasant experience, folks, but it's beneficial. It's helpful when God does that. So before we can get to the establish, to the strengthen, to the settling, and all that's wonderful and great, step one says, humble yourselves. And I thought about that. I think I'd rather humble myself than have God humble me. He'll do a better job, but his hand hurts sometimes. Come on, he takes things away from you that are impeding your progress. He puts you in a frame of mind sometimes that you have to put your desires in the back burner somewhere and say, "God, you're first in my life, and don't ever let me forget that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, then He'll add these other things." Humble yourself. Humble yourself. "Lord, I'm nothing without you." Have you practiced that in your prayer? "God, I can't do anything without you. God, I humbly ask for your blessing rather than I demand it. God, you've got to do this. God, you've got to come on the scene. You've got to make a way." Sometimes I think we go to God in the wrong frame of mind. "God, I humbly come before you. God, I know you don't have to do anything for me. You've saved me. You fill me with your Spirit. I have a home in glory. What else could I want? But Lord, I humbly ask, would you help me in this matter? Lord, I humbly seek your guidance. Not my will, but thine be done. Show me, help me, lead me in the way that you would have me to go. Help me to be that humble person. Help me to practice humility. Not just when I need something. Not just when I'm talking to God. But make me a humble person. Help me to practice humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Then what will happen? He may exalt you in due time. And I know our prayer. God, when? When are you going to do it? When are you going to make a way? When are you going to answer my prayer? In due time. I mean, knows our due time doesn't always match God's due time. But His due time is right. I've learned that through some very, very hard lessons. Because if God had done it the way I wanted and done it when I wanted it, it would have been the wrong thing. But because He waited and because He did it right, amen, it was the right thing. Sometimes the prayer for the son, "Lord, I want it right now. I want it to happen just this night." And then sometimes God says, "Wait a minute, I want it to stick when it happens, so I'm going to work with him a little bit." And then He gets him in the church. Amen. It's still an answered prayer, isn't it? Amen. It's still just as real, but it's God's time. We're humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Then all these other good things come along, casting your care upon Him. Then He tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom you may devour. What's the deal with being sober and vigilant? Because you don't know when He's coming. On television, I've seen it a couple of times, and I forgot now what they're promoting or whatever, but it's like the heart attack announces itself ahead of time. Have y'all seen anything like that? Or it tells this person, you know, at 10 o'clock next Thursday, you're going to be having a heart attack. The devil doesn't operate like that. He doesn't say, "You know what, Sunday right after church, I want you to block this time off because I am going to bombard you." He doesn't do that. But He hits you when you least expect it. He comes at you as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. You know how to get rid of him? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan. You got to speak to him with authority. And he doesn't appreciate or respect your authority or my authority. But he trembles at the name of Jesus. And you have that power. Again, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. So these wonderful things that come with establishing, with strengthening, and the ability to settle us comes only after we've humbled ourselves. I hope that we'll understand and know to practice step one before we expect to get down to step two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. They're there for us. But that humbling itself, it made such an impact on me when I read that, and I went back and read it again and again and again, and I said, Lord, it's so easy to skip over that first part to get to the goodies. It's so easy to hurry up and eat that chocolate wafer so I can just really enjoy that tantalizing, scrumptious vanilla one with a cream on it. But sometimes if that's all we're looking for from God, we're not getting the spiritual strength that we need. So humble ourselves. God, you know what I need. You know the situations in my life. You know, I don't think there's a thing in the world that you can tell God that he doesn't already know. But it takes faith to believe God. Lord, I'm claiming victory in this matter. God, I'm calling it done in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you right now, as humbly as I know how, Lord, I'm going to forget it. I'm going to place it in your hands, casting all my care upon the Lord. God bless you. I love you tonight. Y'all are so precious coming out on a Wednesday night. I know it's been an awful easy thing to sit in a recliner and push back, but y'all came to church tonight. And I pray that God will just bless you really, really well for doing that, and you'll just have a wonderful, wonderful end of the week. You're already over the hump now. Amen. Friday's on the way. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God bless you. Would you stand tonight? As always, this altar is never closed. We don't open it because it's never closed. But if you have a need tonight, please come forward. We'll pray with you. The God that I serve is just as real on Wednesday night as he is on Sunday. Amen. He's never changing. Anyone with a need tonight? Well, God bless you. We love you so much. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with a word of prayer? May you have a blessed evening.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful message. I love midweek service. I love all the services. So I just really enjoy it. Love each and every one of you. All hearts and minds clear. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Most definitely will. Thank the Lord for that protection, even though there are things that have to be healed. But we know God's got it all in control, don't we? Amen. Amen.
Brother Jim, not only yes. Sister Trudy's memorial services Saturday, but Brother Billy's granddaddy. They have a graveside service for him at Douglasville at 3 o'clock. So let's remember the Gaddis family. And also his dad.
Most definitely we will. And as I know there are a lot of prayer warriors Just lift them up. Let's just let God just handle and just place it all in His hands as we humble ourselves before Him, as we come to Him and ask Him to just take charge of all these situations. All righty. I want to invite you all back for Sunday school Sunday morning and all the other activities going on. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank You again, Lord, for allowing us to feast at Your table, dear Lord, for Your mighty Word. Lord, it is strength, edifying, dear Lord, all the things that we need to hear, dear Lord, and we just thank You for it. Lord, again, for each and every one here tonight, I ask for Your blessings to be upon each and every family represented. Lord, all the prayer requests that have gone forward, Lord, we thank You for being there, Lord, when we're in accidents, when there's situations that come forth. But, dear Lord, we know that You are the healer, the great physician, dear Lord, and we're placing each and every situation into Your hand. Again, dear Lord, we just thank and praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God.